and welcome to Unlimited Life. We have such a special show for you today. Today we are doing a Halloween special. And when we talk about unlimited life, we talk about unlimited realms and unlimited worlds and unlimited fun. And really, Halloween is a time, it's funny because this show is produced out of Canada. And I remember the producer once telling us that the kids in Canada actually put their trick-or-treat outfits, their little costumes on top of their snowsuits. And being in Southern California, the idea of that and the drive to still go out and to celebrate this mystical and magical holiday. And today's guest is one of my favorite people in the entire world, so I'm so excited that he's here today to talk about Halloween. Today we are talking with Ron Roget. Ron is absolutely incredible. He was born in Hawaii, as we're talking about Edmonton, Canada, and he trained in theater in San Francisco and the Bay Area, and he performed in over 75 plays and musicals before even moving to Hollywood or before even doing his very first television show. He is directed, he is produced, he is an actor, he is casted, and one of the most amazing, incredible parts of his journey is that Ron has literally worked and created these haunted houses. And so he knows firsthand what it's like to be able to create that kind of terror, that fear, that exhilaration, the adventure for people. He's also worked and produced in films, in the thriller films. So I cannot think of a better guest to talk about Halloween, this special holiday, from every angle, from all sides, from the acting to the producing to the directing to the adventure and the drive to make Halloween such a special holiday. So, Ron, welcome to the show.
Hello, Nicole. How are you, my dear?
I am great. It's so wonderful to have you here with us today.
it's fun to finally talk to you through this medium.
I know. It's wonderful. And, you know, when I look at your resume, I went and looked at your bio, and, oh, my goodness, you have worked more than anybody I know as an actor, as a director, as a casting person, as a producer. You just turn around and you just work and you work some more, and you've played all these incredible characters as an actor. And I guess one of my favorite questions to ask my guests is, like, the did you know? Because I was talking to the Los Angeles fire chief, and I said to him, did you know you wanted to be, you know, in the fire service? And he said, absolutely not. I wanted to be an astronaut, but that I wanted to ride the truck. And so was Halloween and was acting always a part of your life, or did you know when you were a kid that this was your journey and destiny?
Well, I haven't thought about that in a long time, but now that you mention it, no, of course not. I am sort of a big, stocky guy, so I always thought that I would go into sports, you know, a little football, a little basketball. But very early in my life, I got diagnosed with athletically-induced bronchial asthma. So every time I'd get up and run around the block, I would wheeze and pass out. So obviously during high school years, my sporting life came to a brief, quick ending, and the only other extracurricular activities to do was the theater program or going to wrestling. And I didn't feel like it should be my destiny was to roll around with other guys on mats, so I decided I'd give theater a try. And with a little side trips along the way, I've just been going ever since.
That's amazing, because I've heard you sing, and I know you've done musicals, and your personality and the way that you can create characters just on a dime is absolutely fascinating for me. And so do you have an area that's more fun for you, or that creates more joy, or do you like playing bad guys, or do you like being humorous, or where has the path led you?
Well, I mean, I just sort of think that you, along your journey, you find things that you enjoy. One of the things that I always enjoyed since I was a kid was haunted houses. I think my parents helped throw one when I was 2 years old, and but I was in the second grade, so what was I, 7 or 8 years old, actually. Sorry about that. They built a haunted house and invited every kid in school to the haunted house. And from then on, I was known as the haunted house kid at school for a long time. But it wasn't until I was in my 30s where I actually decided to start working on and building haunted houses professionally. But it was always been a passion. Every Halloween I'd run around to all the events, which I look forward to doing this year, all around my areas. And I've even flown to other cities, Atlanta, St. Louis, Kansas City, New Orleans, Baton Rouge, to see some of the other great haunts that are put up around the world that get away with a lot more there because real estate's a lot cheaper there and they could build much bigger events in California. So I think eventually I found that passion while just trying to fill the times between acting, directing, producing gigs.
It's just amazing to me. And since you have been to all these haunted houses across the nation, what do you think makes a successful haunted house?
Creativity. After you've gone to enough of these, I think you look for the things that you enjoy that are really different. So something that's a little different than the norm, something I never would have thought of, I always enjoy. What people have done within the restrictions of the fire departments and their property and everything else is kind of fun, too. Sometimes the simplest things can tickle me, and then sometimes the most expensive prop is like, you know, take the breath away, and you're like, oh, my God, because you're thinking as an entrepreneur, you're like, oh, that's a $40,000 prop. Oh, my goodness, that's pretty amazing. But then sometimes the $4 thing gets you and makes you jump. So I appreciate it all, really.
That's amazing. And what do you think it is about haunted houses? I mean, here we're in Los Angeles or in the Southern California area. We have people listening to this show from all over the world. And there are haunted, you know, houses that we have lines, hours and hours and hours worth of lines of people waiting to get in or for the opportunity for this experience. And so what do you think that draws that people are like, I have to do this? And people do it over and over and over again, like the greatest ride on earth.
Yeah, that's the question I think every haunted house owner wants to ask. They want to see what it is that people are going to keep coming back again and again and again for. So that is actually a very legitimate question. For me, I was doing a haunted house for a very inexpensive price tag, something like $12, which it's hard to find these days, but I wanted something that the families could come to and appreciate as opposed to going to these amusement theme park attractions that are costing you $50, $60 and up. I think Universal was like $75 for beginner's tickets. And to me, that's not what I did it for. I'm not in there to make $1 million a night. I was just in there to have some people come up to you at the end of the night and say, that was so much fun. Thank you. I was able to take my family. It was affordable. But yet, we didn't feel like it was any less scares than these expensive places.
Right. That's awesome. That's really incredible. And when you talk about the scares, is there too frightening? Is there people that get there and say, oh, no, I can't do this? Or is there anything that's too scary? Or are people that are coming to the haunted house, they just are longing to be scared and you want to give them everything that they came for?
We did have a reputation. Oh, sorry, there's a big noise next to me. Hold on for a second.
That's okay.
We did have a reputation at our little venue that at least one adult a night would actually bail, you know, flee from our out the front door before they got 50 feet in. If we could do that successfully, then we know we at least got that one good adult scare. And we didn't try to do that with the kids. It didn't count the kids as part of that effort. But, yeah, you know, adults want to get their money's worth, too. So we try to amp it up. And if we hear somebody's coming through and they're already crying or sniveling or we were like, you know, don't scare these kids. They're already terrified and they're getting their money's worth. You know, you could do nothing and they're going to come out going, that was the scariest thing ever.
And when you talk about your parents creating a haunted house or haunted houses throughout the nation that you've been to, do you have any advice for people? I mean, you've created haunted houses for years and haunted events for years. And so for somebody that wants to produce a haunted event, what would you recommend?
Well, that's a difficult question. It depends on what people want to get out of it. If the people are going into it for purely financial reasons, it's to get to that status, it's a pretty big financial commitment. If it's something you just want to do to scare some of the kids in the neighborhood, most people I know who had started doing haunted houses kind of started doing it off their front porch or in the driveway of their home. And, you know, every year people would say, that house is pretty cool. They have a little scary thing. And those are little home people are into the home hunt scene. And there's various groups around. There's a couple groups in L.A. One of them is Cal Haunts. Cal Haunts is a group of home hunters where they're not out there producing haunts for any money. They might have, you know, a charity bucket or something out front, but they're mostly just to kind of provide this, share this little thing that they do to scare people and get that little tickle inside them that makes them happy when they get that scream out of somebody. And that's enough of them. There's a lot of people like that, and I think you should try to do that first before you try to attempt anything at a larger scale. But once you get at a larger scale, you're competing with theme parks and amusement parks that are spending millions and millions of dollars, and it's hard to match that.
It's just such great advice. I mean, what an amazing, amazing journey and adventure to be part of. And then as you're going through the haunted houses, you have all these monsters and these ghosts and these goblins and these witches and these whatever. And so where do you find the actors or the performers or the people, and can they sustain it screaming like that every night? I mean, do they lose their voices, or for them is this just a blast to do this all the time?
Yeah, we were blessed in one way that we had an area. We were in Pasadena, California. We were the Old Town Haunts in Old Town Pasadena. So we already came with that sort of old feeling of the neighborhood and such. But in that area, because we gave money to charity every year, we were considered a nonprofit or charity haunt. So, well, we weren't pure nonprofit. We were just a charity haunt, in my view, legally. But because we gave money to charity, the schools have a requirement that all the kids have to have 40 hours of community service to give to charity events. And because they classified us as a charity event, we got kids that came to quickly work off their 40 hours in one season. And then, you know, once they got hooked on scaring people, because you get an adrenaline high when you do that, then they were able to they stuck around and did it just for fun after that. And then you get people that just come to you, that come to the haunt and say, oh, my God, it was so much fun, and I was thinking it's so much fun to be on your side. How can I volunteer? How can I be part of this? And you find people like this think that would be a lot of fun. And then you have people that might just do it for a couple of days, say, it's not my bag of tea, but I'm glad I did it. You know, so it was, that's one of the things that you have to be pretty well balanced in, you know, getting good scare actors and getting people who want to be there and committed. I find some of the haunts that just pay actors, people are just there for the paycheck. They don't necessarily care about scaring everybody that comes through. They just want to put their hours in. For us, people were there because they wanted to be there, and I think we actually got more effective scares out of it.
That's brilliant. That's amazing. Does it work the same way with the set designers and the people that come and create the haunted house? Because that, to me, is equally as exciting. I had the opportunity to be in some of your haunted houses and your haunted events, and I was blown away by the intricate sets inside.
Yeah, well, thank you. That was a lot of man hours. Yeah, the same thing. Some of the same scare actors would also come in and help be part of the set, create stuff, and put stuff together. I find that there's a little bit more hardcore group of people that are willing to do that than just everybody. So I think that is, once you find those people, they're worth their weight in gold. Treat them right. I buy them meals every day and make sure they were well fed, and then I show my appreciation for them coming in, because getting stuff set up, we were about 5,000 to 6,000 square foot haunt, underground, completely underground, which was great, in a basement that was 130 years old, so it already had a lot of nasty character, as I call it, that made it really delicious for haunted house. There's some people that enjoy doing that part too. You know, some people just want to build, and some people just want to scare, and then there's those people that want to do both. So you just nourish all those relationships and appreciate what everybody's able to give, even a day.
That's amazing. You know, when you're talking about this basement being 130 years old, I remember reading on the website that it talked about shows like Buffy and the Vampire Slayer and the Power Rangers and the House of 1,000 Corpses and the Haunted Mansion, Indiana Jones. Were they filmed there, or were they all part of that building?
No. Well, that's my other life, my acting life, that I was fortunate enough to be in a position to have relationships to get leftover sets, or sets that were being thrown away, or just props from different people from TV shows like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which sounds really scary, and then Power Rangers, which doesn't sound scary, but they had a lot of very cool stone props and stone walls and effects that were very effective in creating rooms in the haunted house. House of Thousand Corpses, we had at least one or two bodies from that movie shoot. And then, yeah, there's a bunch of stuff that was used that don't necessarily know what shows they were from, but they're all from the studios. So I think that made us, specifically us, because we're close to the L.A. area and we're able to take advantage of those things and add it to the haunt. And I think that also added to character, because we didn't have to do much to enhance the scariness of a look of them, you know?
That's great. I mean, that's so exciting, and how wonderful that you were able to take all these components from parts of your life, because I love that. And I think that was something else I really wanted to talk about, was the drive and the desire and the epic, epic, epic success of horror films and thrillers. And I would love you, if you can, to talk about that, because there is something, you know, I know that in all countries, that romantic comedies do not play in every country if we write them in America. It's somebody else's sense of comedy or love or humor. But there's something about horror movies and thrillers that transcend language and transcend culture and transcend country and age or race or ethnicity or whatever that is, or background, or if you're single, you're a couple, you're a family. There is something about the horror film and the thriller that we are drawn to, and I would just love to know the why and what you think about that.
Well, I think it's great. As an actor, it's a lot of fun because, and I've had a few opportunities. I'd like to have more, actually, but to be in a horror film, you know, it's usually low budget for the most part, and they don't usually have a budget to be able to afford star names for the most part. So most horror films are produced without the need of having like a star name. You're not Brad Pitt, George Clooney, Scarlett Johansson type characters or actors in those roles, because generally, for the most part, unless it's a studio produced horror film, they're not going to have the budget for that. So it gives you, as an actor who doesn't have a big star name, it gives me a chance to play a much bigger role and actually have a chance to play in the movie theaters, because in the movie theaters, they'll play it just because of the genre. Most everything else that you mentioned, romantic comedies, action films, whatever, you go to see, you know, the George Clooney action movie, the Sandra Bullock romantic comedy, or people go to see these star names that pull people into the theater. Horror film, it's just Annabelle, the scary doll. You know? And how much blood and gore can you have in this movie? Or do people really want to talk about a remake of Evil Dead, and that's such a big horror following? Why not? That's why there's a lot of remakes of horror films, because they already have huge horror followings. And it was never because there was big star names in them. Some of them produced big star names, horror films in the past, like Johnny Depp and a lot of people all the way down the line. But, you know, sometimes it's just the genre that builds audiences, so you can't afford to make them cheaper. You can't afford to make it with people who are good at creating those kind of effects, special effects people, makeup effects people, end up being directors in a lot of these things, because they have abilities to create what people want to see in these things without having to pay, you know, Matt Damon, $5 million to be in a movie. And yet, you have a movie that everyone wants to see, because it's what people come to see, the effects in it.
It's just remarkable. And I'm also thinking about the video rental business. And, you know, I'm a romance writer. I've written all of these romance books and romance television shows, and I write about love and lust and passion and the happily ever after. But yet, when you talk to a video store, even in Netflix, and when people are on a date at home, they will rent horror movies, thriller movies. And that, to me, is astounding, that that is sort of like an aphrodisiac for love.
Well, you get the girl to get a little scared and scoot a little closer for protection by her man, so, or, you know, or partners or whatever. So that's the kind of fun of it.
That's just great. Now, I know that there are other, you know, events that we have in Los Angeles other than the haunted houses, and I love the haunted houses, and I love the fact that you've created year after year. And it's amazing because I followed your haunted houses from city to city and place to place, and you always think, oh, my gosh, it can't be scary or it can't get any better than this, and then the next year you top it, and the next year you top it. So you really have become such an expert in the field of creating these events. And so just kudos to you for creating. I mean, what a great thing to be able to say, I create fun and adventure and, you know, an exhilarating thrill ride for people year after year. I mean, that must be a wonderful feeling for you to do that.
I only do it because I enjoy it. And if people happen to have that same, you know, tickle bone that turns them on, then that's great, and then we both can enjoy it together. But thank you. Those are such kind words. I actually am down this year. I did not do the haunted house because of different situations, and I needed a year off because I've been doing it 15 years straight. Frankly, I wanted to take time off to go see a lot of these other haunted houses around L.A. that I've been missing year after year because I'm so committed to mine. But I never get a chance to see everybody else's, so... Like tonight, I'm going to go see the Haunted Hayride. I hear you have the L.A. Haunted Hayride guest on after me. That's cool. And go out and see some of the haunts of Thousand Oaks, Reign of Terror. That one's a good one I've never seen. And the Empty Grave down in Anaheim. Some of these other haunts I'm looking forward to seeing. Even Rotten Apple, it's a nonprofit haunt that's all free that's in Burbank, California. I've been going over to help pound some nails, but I can't wait to see that up and running because I don't get to see that ever because I've always been so, so busy, you know. So I'm looking forward to seeing some of these other events this year.
Oh, that's wonderful. I mean, so am I. I love going. It's so funny because I'm so drawn to that. And I think that I'm fascinated because as a romance writer, it's the one thing that I don't write. And so it's, you know, it's that, you know, little blue people on the moon or whatever, it's that one thing that's the far, far, far away that is just a skill and a talent I've just always admired so much. And I also love, like I was saying, that the producer on the show lives in Edmonton, Canada, and she's always talking about the fact that the kids have on their little trick-or-treat outfits on top of their snowsuits. And so, I mean, you're from Hawaii, and being here, just the idea of being that dedicated to go trick-or-treating. And so I guess my question is, do people wear costumes when they go to a haunt?
I think every haunt is different. We try to put it in a situation and eliminate potential problems. We don't let people wear costumes in, but if they have a horror mask, and that could be a horror creature, and they, if they walk through the haunt, if they stepped out of the group and into the shadows and then started pretending they're one of us and they were doing things we didn't approve, grabbing people for reals, we had to mitigate any potential of that becoming a problem. So we would ask them to leave their mask outside just when they're going through the haunt. But a lot of people, especially on Halloween nights, are going to be wearing their costumes through. But if they're a horror-themed-based stuff, yeah, we would ask them to take off the mask to make sure they couldn't possibly get mixed up with one of our actors who are all trained and approved and, you know, signed up with the police department for protection and stuff. So, yeah, that's the only thing that we do. But, you know, it's hard to stop people from wearing costumes in there.
Sure. And is there an age that's too young or an age that you want to start thinking about taking your children to a haunt?
Well, I mean, I think everything's different. Disneyland, for an example, is set up for kids. You know, you could have people that have a little happy little neighborhood thing that's not going to be very scary, or you could have, you know, not scary farm where they try to everything they can to scare you on a $1 million budget. I think most places, I think we had an age limit. We recommended 12 and over, but we didn't restrict people from bringing people in because I've known some 5-year-olds that were more mature than some 12-year-olds as far as the haunts. They'll walk through and go, oh, not scary. Yeah, not scary. Yeah, not scary. So we leave it up to the parents. I just think for legal, I have to say we recommend this age, but we never, people bringing infants, we didn't stop that from happening, you know. I felt bad for some kids because, you know, we like to pride ourselves in being a little bit scary and actually, you know, the little infants, I'm afraid they're going to have years of therapy if they ever get startled and actually realize what that scary thing is over there or the loud sound that scared them and made them cry. You know, we didn't like seeing it, but we couldn't stop parents from doing what they wanted with their kids, I guess.
Sure. Oh, wow. What a journey. I mean, your experience, your expertise, your passion, your drive, your commitment to creating these haunts and this holiday and making it so special for so many people. And I love the fact that you've gone around the nation and even checked out all these other haunts. And as we're talking today about, you know, the haunted hayride and everything that is available to people, all the different ways that this adventure and this fun and this holiday can come alive and be so special and spectacular. And I know that you have drum, but I just wanted to ask you your favorite part of Halloween. You said when you were a kid, you know, how you were drawn. What's your favorite part?
What's my favorite part?
Yes.
I think as a kid, it was the candy. I think as an adult, it was, I was watching other people get scared and hearing the different screams and just being fascinated. I said, how could that come out of somebody just because somebody did that? And then I would be the one, my mom said I was even, you know, as a kid, 7, 8 years old, jumping out of bushes, trying to scare her all the time. Because I just like to see people in pure, unperformed place, you know, and when they react out of fear and they just jump up, there's no control. It's just their pure reaction. You know, that to me was always kind of fun. Their unfiltered reaction, I guess, is what I enjoyed watching in some of these people, including my mom, who can't go into haunted houses to this day.
That's really amazing, you know, that unbridled reaction or the fact that you are so passionate and about this and that your mom can't go in, I absolutely love. But I know that she must be so proud because of all that you've done and all that you've accomplished. I mean, from your acting and your writing and your producing and the films that you've made, and then the fact that you've wrapped all this creativity up into one incredible, incredible gift, you know, for the cities that you've come in and created these events for people year after year is just such a commitment and really, you know, kudos to you. So,
thank you. That's awesome.
So it's so wonderful to have you here.
Yeah, it's fun to talk to you. And like I said in this meeting, but I'd love to invite you to the haunted house tonight. I hope you're still game to try to go out and get scared.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I actually think that we have Justin on the line from the Haunted Hayride. Let me check and see if he is with us. Justin,
okay.
Are you with us today?
We are. I am.
Hi, welcome to the show. It's such
a
joy to have you here. And I have Ron with us as well. And as we are trading places here, because I know Ron is running off, but I wanted to thank you, Ron, for being with the show and just all your advice and all of your information. And truly, you've created such special and spectacular events throughout the years, and I know I've enjoyed them immensely. And, you know, so for anybody that has the opportunity to go to any of Ron's events, whether they be haunted houses or his plays or his performances or television shows and movies, he truly is a talented, talented man and somebody that is meant to be followed, and accolades for all of his work, because truly you are such a gift, Ron. So thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, and I will see you tonight, Mr. Meyer. I will be coming to the LA Haunted Hayride.
Excellent, Ron. Good to hear from you.
Okay. Pickle.
Thank you, Ron, for being with us. And Justin, welcome to the show. We have such a special show today because we're talking about Halloween. And the show is Unlimited Life. And when I created the Unlimited Life show, the idea was, how do you have an unbridled living? How do you live without boundaries or borders or whatever that is, and have this incredible experience of everything you've ever dreamed or wished or wanted? And I certainly believe with all of my heart that these haunted events and these haunted houses, and that you've created this amazing event that I can't wait to talk about, falls in that category of unlimited life, because there are no boundaries. It's like when you think about, there are no lines between the states. There are no boundaries between adventure and fun in what you've created. And so first I wanted to welcome you and thank you for your time today. And then I would love, my question that I was asking Ron at the top of the show and that I love to ask guests is the, did you know? Like when you were 6 and 7 and 8 and you were a little boy, did you know that this was a calling, and were you drawn to the Halloween or the terror, or the thrill, or the adventure?
How funny that you asked that, because, you know, actually I think that quite often day to day, believe it or not, because at a very ripe young age, I was into horror and horror movies and horror fantasy things all from a super young age. I grew up, the very, very first thing I ever saw that was remotely scary was the 1984 Terminator movie. Where at the very end, that giant metal skeleton is chasing her through the compression machine, and that just, I instead of absolutely being terrified, my eyes grew huge, and I was like, "What is this?" You know, super, super young, and it hooked me really even back then, and ever since then, I've absorbed everything horror I could. From books to movies to soundtracks to, you know, artwork, all the way across the board. And I've become this horror encyclopedia sponge, if you will, of just all this stuff. And so I ended up studying acting and directing in school and college. I even studied some musical theater, did some singing and stuff like that. So live theater has kind of always been a part of what I've done my whole life. And what I'm doing now is kind of a marriage of all of these things finally coming together in a perfect storm. You know, live theater, a live horror action experience. That's kind of what we do.
Wow, that's just remarkable. And so how did the culmination, as you're sharing all this, and I've got so many questions now, I could keep you on for a couple of years, but from all of this, how did you come up with the idea of this? First, the haunted hayride, and I would love you to tell our audience, because we have people listening from all over the world, and, you know, we even have people listening from areas like East Germany, that this is now, oh my goodness, the fact that you have people that are listening from Malta, we have people all over the world, which is fabulous, because all of these people come to Los Angeles and they visit, and people always want to know what is the thing to do when you're in Los Angeles, that's it.
Yeah.
And so how did you even come up with this incredible idea, and not just such an incredible idea, it has become a core spectacular. It's like people go to the Hollywood sign and people come to the haunted day. This is something that they're driven to go see and be a part of year after year.
Well, I'm part of a company called 1031 Productions, and 1031 Productions was actually started by our producer, Melissa Carbone, and her partner, Allison Richards, and we ended up I came on board originally 6 years ago at the very inception of the company with my wife as a special effects artist. And we were doing special effects work for fun. And we ended up getting, you know, some small notoriety in art. We were living in Seattle and we thought, hey, we'd love to try LA. And we reached out to this fledgling company that was just starting. And they had us come down and we had an incredible first season with them. This conception of an East Coast tradition brought to the West Coast. We didn't see a lot of hayrides did not exist on the West Coast before we brought one out here. And Melissa Carbone is mostly responsible for that. She had this grand dream. She grew up in Connecticut, and I grew up in Vermont, and we all kind of have these ideas of, you know, what we used to do when we were kids, and hay rides were a big thing. And so Melissa brought this idea to the table, and we all kind of started jumping in and inputting, you know, giving some creative input there to make this thing come to life. And the very first one was out in Calabasas at the King Gillette Ranch, and it was a really fun season, really great, you know, good little first attempt at doing the live horror experience. And then from there, we moved into Griffith Park's old zoo, which is where we currently are, and we've been for the last 5 years. And from there, once we got that location, we were kind of, you know, we started to dream bigger every season. I'm the creative director, so I design a lot of the creature content, characters, scenic content, all the vignettes, all the weird horror ideas that come pouring out. Most of them come from my brain.
So you are the genius. So, I mean, I love that.
I'm the horror.
I'm a horror genius.
So we started doing some stuff there at Griffith Park, and from that point on, it was like this has potential to be something other than just, you know, a bunch of random scenes thrown together in the woods, and we can make this into an interesting kind of theatrical experience. And we started to design our vignettes and our scenes based around themes every single season. Like this season, we are Echoes from the Rift, so we are a tribute to our sixth season. So we're kind of doing a little nod to All Things from Hell, and heavily influenced by Dante's Inferno and Greek mythology this season. So if you come out and see Echoes from the Rift this year at the LA Haunted Hayride, it's very, you'll pick up on all these themes. But that's something we strive to do every season, is pick a theme, make it really, really cool and unique. These are all going to be characters that you're not going to see anywhere else. They're not the typical horror movie monsters that you see. We do a lot of creatures of legend, of lore, like I said, this year, Greek mythology. So there's a lot of really cool, unique things to see out where we are.
That's so wonderful. Okay, I've got a question totally off the beat.
Sure.
So I was talking to Ron, and we were talking about the enticement of the thriller, of the horror movie, and how it transcends countries and language, that in any country, that horror movies and thriller movies where the sense of romantic comedy doesn't really play in other countries, somebody might not have our sensibility of humor or our sense of romance and love, but yet as far as downloads or rented movies, that more people on dates will rent a horror movie or a thriller movie. And he was saying a girl gets scared and you pull the girl closer. But what was your courtship with your wife like? Like, here I'm this guy. I was an expert in monsters and mayhem. And what was that like?
It's so ironic that she actually has no stomach for it whatsoever. it's so funny because she's got a very practical background. My wife has a degree in exercise science, and she studied dance, and so she's got a theatrical background, big time. Like we that's actually what we've met. We met doing shows together all over the country, and we ended up starting. We did a show down in Tennessee together, and then we ended up once we got together, we've been working together since for about 9 years now. She doesn't really like horror, believe it or not. She likes once we started breaking everything down and, like, you know, looking at things analytically, she was really into it. She got into the whole makeup. She's very, very artistic. So, I kind of broke the ice with her with, special effects makeup and showing her this kind of stuff. And then she surpassed me in her talent skills with it because she's actually quite artistic. But she really doesn't have the stomach for it. If I watch horror movies in my own home, it has to be in the middle of the day with all the lights on. So we always watch a lot of stupid, you know, TV comedies at night because she can't deal with it.
So cute. I think that is so funny. That is so wonderful.
It's a good balance, though. It's a nice dynamic, you know. So
I love it. And when I was talking to Ron, we were talking about the draw. That you know, every year people are absolutely compelled to come to these haunted events and with their families, with their loved ones, with their children, that it's not only just attending, but it's sharing this experience. And so what do you think is that draw to share this?
Well, I think that that's, you know, I mean, there's that universal desire for adrenaline rushes in a safe environment. And, you know, a lot of, especially in these live horror attraction experiences and haunts and haunted houses and things like that, you know, the depending on the content, it can be very quite a family experience. You know, you can touch that darkness but still be very, very safe and know that nothing's gonna befall or come to harm with your family. And it's that adrenaline drive and getting to see your dad scream or your mom scream or your it's actually kind of a fun experience for a kid to look up and see them actually terrify your parents. It's kind of a fun experience. But it's like that experience of going out and not necessarily going to a movie here, you know, you go to movies and you sit in a dark room and you don't talk to each other and you just kind of focus on the screen versus these live attractions where you go and you talk and you giggle and you laugh and you point things out to each other and, you know, you interact. That's a big thing for our company. Even at the Los Angeles Haunted Hayride this year, we have a big focus on having a touch point or, you know, focusing on making things moderately interactive so that you feel like you're not just a spectator. You are, you're actually having to engage with the content. And that's an interesting thing for people to do these days rather than just strap on the TV and zone out. You know, it's an actual engagement. And they feel, you go home feeling a bit more fulfilled, I think, from the experience.
That's wonderful. And then are they actually on a hayride on your event? Today?
They are, yeah. The Haunted Hayride is an actual hayride. You get into this 20-foot long trailer that we pull with a tractor and it's filled with hay, and we take you up through the Griffith Park's old zoo. We show you 13 unique and different scenes, different vignettes. It's about a 25-minute ride, and it's really, really fun, and people are really enjoying themselves a lot this season. This is our best season we've ever had, for sure. It's the scale of it is grand, and the show is absolutely gorgeous and terrifying and beautiful and all these things all wrapped into one.
I absolutely love it. And for those that are in California or those that are visiting right now and people that are jumping on planes and say, I want to see this before Halloween, how do they make a reservation and find out about this, and where do you go for tickets?
Well, you can visit our website, which is LAHauntedHayride.com. You can also find us through our main company site, 1031productions.com. And then we actually sell tickets on site as well. But it's always smart to get your tickets early and get them online because we do sell out. So it's a really, really great show, and definitely you don't want to miss it this season.
Oh, that's wonderful. One of my questions to Ron that I'd love to ask you as well is, should people come in costumes or do they, you know, come in sneakers since they're in a hair? Because I know people all of a sudden think, oh, Halloween, I need to, like, wear a costume to go somewhere.
Right. We don't allow masks or costumes on our ride or in the park because of, you know, we have actors walking around in some, you know, outfits as well. So it's a you know, safety thing. We make sure that we can see everybody and that people don't get confused that maybe this guy over here is one of our characters and he's not, you know, so we want to make sure that you don't wear costumes and you can't wear masks. But, you know, for apparel, I would suggest, and this is a good point that you brought up because we live here in Los Angeles and I've seen all sorts of different outfits go on the hayride, and the people that do better tend to wear sneakers and jeans and, you know, typical outdoor environment kind of gear. And, you know, I know you want to come pretty and look really hot and cool for your date, but the little white dresses and the stiletto heels tend to cause a few issues on the hayride. You go home with a bit more hay than you thought you were going to, so.
That's funny. That's so great. And is there an age range? Is there too young to go to the haunted hayride, or?
You know, we don't recommend it for children under 12. But you know, I heard Ron at the end there saying it's kind of hard to get parents to not take their kids. So we've seen a wide range. We allow access to all ages, but we don't recommend it for children under 12. The content can be a little heavy.
I love that you're doing this. This is so amazing to me. It
really
Thank you.
Is. I love that I'm doing this.
And so special. I mean, because the idea of a haunted house and the idea of a haunted event or an adventure or a thrill ride, there is something in all of us that is drawn to the dark or drawn to the unknown.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, ever since you were a child or to that, don't touch that, don't go there, don't cross that line,
yeah.
Whatever is on lurking on the other side. And the fact that you've created these amazing vignettes and stories and that you've chosen a path to do it differently than any other haunted event. It's fascinating to me.
Yeah, our team is a really, really brilliant team. We have some really, really great people, Keith Greco, Melissa Carbone, Melissa Meyer, just lots and lots of really, really creative, talented people on our team. And, you know, we sit as a group, you know, we sit and we decide, you know, what could we do this season? We'll do a hayride. Maybe we'll do a camp out. We always try to find the elemental things that speak to everybody universally and yet haven't been done yet in the market, you know, in our horror environment. So it's we're loving what we're doing.
I love it. It's so brilliant. And for those that are in other countries that, for whatever reason, cannot fly here by Halloween, which I can't believe everybody's not going to just get on a plane after this conversation,
yeah,
but if they wanted to create one in their own country or in their own state or in their own world, what would you recommend?
What would I recommend they create?
As far as somebody that wants to create a haunted event, as I was asking Ron, somebody that, what would you recommend?
I think, you know, it's always best to start simply and start practically. You know, find the things that you have access to and just start absorbing, you know, as much horror content as you possibly can. Go to these attractions. I mean, that's where you'll learn the most. Try to analyze, you know, what it is that you're there doing. Don't just come and enjoy it, but maybe come a couple times and try to, you know, for once over, just to kind of take it in and enjoy it. Maybe next time come and start to break it down. That's the best thing you can do is actually do your homework, you know, study and look at some of the other haunts that are out there, some of the other ideas that are floating around, the things that seem to be working, the things that people seem to be really attracted to. And if you're finding, especially if you're in other countries and you're hearing about them here in the States, you're probably hearing about the more popular ones. So definitely worth doing the homework and the research. And start simple, start small, and dream big. That's what I say.
What great advice. And I love that when you were a little boy that you started, that you sang from all these movies, for all these TV shows, to all these books,
yeah.
And drawings.
I like the horror attractions and artwork, and yeah, it's reading stories and books, and that's where I came from. That's my world.
Did one thing really inspire you when you were a child that you saw something and you said, wow, like you're talking about the drawings or you're talking about, I mean, even we haven't even talked about the sound or the music and incorporating
I mean,
that in Halloween.
Music is a huge thing for us. And we work with a composer. We have an original soundtrack scored for us every single year by Chris Thomas, who is a live horror attraction composer, and he's done movies and TV, and the guy's really, really, really amazing. And every single season we have a brand new unique soundtrack, and soundscaping is a critical part of a horror experience. You know, the visuals and the characters and the puppetry and the storylines, all very important, but you know, everything falls flat without that elemental, like, ambiance that music provides. And that's a really, really big part that a lot of people don't think about. And soundscaping specifically, like not just putting on an old Halloween special effects CD that you got at the grocery store that everybody buys, you know, with the ghosts whispering and the church bells ringing. Like, we craft all of our scenes to have a musical and an atmospheric soundtrack, and it really makes a huge difference in the texture of the piece. But, you know, like, we have music, and then, like, when I was growing up, I read, you know, all those scary storybooks. I was heavily influenced by Stephen Gammell drawings and Edward Gorey drawings and things like that. So, I mean, you can find it everywhere. And if you're looking for it, you know, and taking it all in as influence is the most important part.
This is just fantastic. I love this. And then you talked about the fact that you have really unique costumes this year and that you've gone with a theme. And do you have any recommendations for parents as far as costuming children or even as adults? I mean, so many of my friends started back in May on their Halloween costumes.
Yeah,
and
some people do.
So do you have any advice on the very best way to really put together a costume or to find pieces and parts or to be inspired and to step into something?
Well, you know, it's funny. Like, I mean, you can do the standard and go to, like, the big Halloween chain stores and find the popular characters and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, when we started doing this stuff and when I was growing up, it was a lot of thrift store shopping. I mean, you find so many amazing things in a thrift store. And if you can piecemeal it together and kind of, you know, use your imagination, you can really come up with amazing things. I'll give you a little costume advice. When you're putting together something, layers are important. When you have if you put on one shirt, like one little T-shirt and one pair of pants, that looks fine. But then you throw a jacket over that and then throw a scarf on over that, and you layer these costume pieces. The more layers you add into something, just the more rich the whole look becomes. And you can do that stuff extremely cheaply if you shop at these thrift stores or these, you know, Salvation Army type places. And you know, when I was a kid, I always, my father used to do triage makeup. I don't know if you know what that is. But he was in the military. He was in the military, and he worked in the Air Guard. He was in the clinic. And they would do these exercises where they would put fake wounds on their soldiers, like giant broken bones sticking out of the skin and like face lacerations and all these horrible, horrible burns and terrible things. But they do it with makeup and special effects. And then they would put their soldiers out in the field, and the guys would have to go out and find the soldier and go, oh, this is the situation. Now we have to assess it and take care of this person. So my dad led all of that kind of stuff, and that's probably where some of the special effects stuff came in for me. When we were children, he would do all these terrible, horrifying makeup jobs on us. And then we'd put on these cute little, you know, Halloween masks, like little scarecrow from The Wizard of Oz, and we'd go out to bring our doorbells, and people would open the door, and they'd be like, oh, that's cute, little scarecrow. And then we'd lift up our masks and get horrifying screams from neighbors. So I think that's definitely where some of this came from. But again, it's all about that layering of idea, layering of costume, layering of makeup and effect, where, you know, you can achieve a really interesting, unique kind of character if you just think about it in that term, you know?
That's such great advice. And then I know that the shows, we don't have a lot of time left. One of the things I also wanted to ask you about was lighting. Because I know sometimes, just going up to someone's house, it's so dark that the kids can't even see going up the driveway. And so any advice on lighting for Halloween?
Lighting for Halloween. You know, I mean, lighting is another one of those things that's really, like, sculptable when it comes to the user experience. Music and lighting are really critical pieces of things that we use at the Hayride every year. And you can direct people's attention with lighting, and you can also misdirect people's attention with lighting. So if you're going to do a little home haunt, or if you're going to, have a driveway even that is decorated for Halloween, using your lighting to misdirect the trick-or-treaters, you know, shine a light on the front door. Come on up. you know, there's nothing to worry about. Do-do-do-do. Kids come up, and then out of the shadows of the darkness comes the old man sitting in the rocking chair that you didn't see, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's really, that's a really, really easy and cheap and effective way to get scares, for sure.
Oh, this information is just impeccable. I'm so glad that as a child you stepped on this path. It's like the people movers at the airport that you just keep going. It's like this has been your path, and the fact that you've taken this to this height and this level and created, as you know, we talk about the Hollywood, you know, hayride and the haunted hayride, it's special, and it's extraordinary, and it's not like anything else out there. And so I'm so grateful that you've brought this to our city. And for all of you who are listening from all over the world that are so jealous right now, come. Tell us once more the website so people can find you.
Los Angeles Haunted Hayride.com or LA Haunted Hayride.com. And again, you can also find us through our main production company is 1031 Productions, and that's all spelled out, everything. No letters, no numbers, all letters.
Glad that you said that. See, I would have thought it was the other way around. And what
does
it stand for? 1031 Halloween Productions.
Oh, yes. 1031productions.com. It's a date. Yeah, I think
that's so fabulous. Well, I still look forward to joining you at the Haunted Hollywood. You're right. And I'm so looking forward to being part of it. And especially this year, it just sounds just so spectacular, the fact that you've taken these vignettes. And I love that you've taken this theme.
It's our biggest season yet. The theme is amazing. And the show is so rich this year and really just absolutely stunning. You're gonna scream, and you're gonna laugh, and you're gonna enjoy yourself, and it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Oh well, Justin, thank you so much for taking your time to be with us today. And I love the fact that you have been on this magical, mystical, wizardly, wonderful journey, and that you have taken this talent and that you share it with us just so generously, because truly, it is a gem of Hollywood. And year after year, you create these just most amazing events, and boy, are we lucky to have you. So,
Thank you.
So thank you. We look forward to having you again, because we can't wait to hear
about how Halloween went.
My pleasure, and thank you again for being with us. Wow, what a wonderful, wonderful guest, and incredible passion for what he does, and Ron, incredible passion, both Justin and Ron, both remarkable in their commitment and their creativity, their artistic talent, their flair, their drive, their determination, and their ability to create these incredible events for hundreds of thousands of people year after year after year after year, and to make an event memorable, something that you could do with your family, or as Justin was sharing, on a date with somebody, with your parents. How wonderful would that be to see your parents vulnerable or innocent, or have an expression that you didn't even know that they had inside of them? And the fact that this is open in 1031 Productions, so committed to creating these spectacular, unbelievable events, and the fact that this is really at the heart of Hollywood. And for those of you who are around the world that are interested in having events like this in your country, in your state, in your own backyard, I would highly recommend that you reach out to 1031 Productions and see if they can't work with you, because truly they are so gifted and so talented and so craftful at what they do, and truly magical, magical, magical gift, and just perfect for the Halloween season. So we thank you for being with us, Justin Meyer and Mount Roche and myself, and we are wishing you an unlimited life. And this Halloween, everybody stay safe. Everybody hang on to your loved ones. And remember that Fright Night is simply a Fright Night, but that the darkness that lurks, what is that they say, that the light at the end of the tunnel is also a mirror? That's what Neil Rogan says, and always that reflection back to you and your own adventure, your own joy, your own magic, your own wonder, and your own sense of unlimited realms, unlimited worlds, and as we say here, on Unlimited Life, Unlimited Worlds.